this way is still quite mysterious to me. I don't know what I'm doing here. Things here at Santa Cruz Zen Center are a little more formal, so it's kind of scary here. We're kind of a shaggy country mouse type place. Some of you have been there. We had a wonderful sesshin, didn't we? Not that long ago, yeah. We kind of sat down together, studied together. It was quite wonderful. Pretty good feeling. I feel like an extended family here. Particularly after that sesshin. Felt good. It's very nice to walk around, almost a surprise for me to walk around the back of the altar and see it's a Kaisan Do, isn't it? Yeah, Kaisan Do. There's, hi Colvin. Hello Colvin. Winter of 1976-77, I drove to Santa Cruz Zen Center with Colvin in a little Volkswagen. I think it was like a Wednesday talk. I think this is an old tradition. I think it was a Wednesday talk. Even then, it was Wednesday nights were the time when they had talks here. And heard him talk here. Place looked quite a bit different back then. I seem to remember the floor being like wavy or something.
It was.
Was it? Yes. It was sloping or slanting? That's oh good. Good. Good, it wasn't me. Yeah, there were cracks in it and everything too, that's right. Yeah. Here we are wearing strange clothes, and we have this wonderful practice tradition that's, I would say, comparatively free of accoutrements and ritual, but still there's a form, isn't there? Well, Kokyo asked me to bring some teaching from Colvin. So I have a few things I'd like to read, words of Colvin Shinoroshi. And I'd also like to share with you some teachings from one of our ancestors, from the teacher Hong Ji. And then I think we'll have some time for questions and discussions after that. We'll see how it goes. Being here today made me think about these practice forms. I'm kind of stuck. In a certain sense, like this, that our practice form is visible is kind of wonderful, because it's an expression of what we do, that we have a form. But on another level, it's kind of an apology. Have you ever thought about that? It's kind of like saying, I'm sorry. Because in an absolute sense, the fact that the form is visible as a form means that there's still something to do, that there's work in progress. And if the form was complete, you could say there would be no form. also when we sit down like this, it's kind of an apology that we're making, that we're visible. A kind of a confession. Maybe. Coburn said something like that in the beginning of this quote. If I could read you a few things from Coburn, these are very nice little passages. Coburn said, a famous teacher, Joshu, said that after 30 years of practice, then you can start to speak about it. I have now more than that time with this effort, and yet still am hesitant to talk. One reason is there's too much to talk about. It's so deep, and often it doesn't help at all for the practice. One must disappear in the sitting. That's the only way. Just disappear in the sitting. With an advanced practitioner, inner recognition seems to be a regressed state. It seems absurd. You do not allow yourself so easily to say, I'm okay. To say I'm Coburn, not me, but Coburn, saying, to say I'm Coburn is understandable. And then to say, I'm not Coburn, now I'm really in trouble. And yet, form is emptiness. No eyes, no nose, everything chopped down and thrown away. Heart Sutra, Nagarjuna, which you've been studying, 500 years of Buddhist theories, all put under no. This no, we call no, no, zero. No, no, zero. What kind of eye, what kind of mind can receive the insight, this insight of emptiness? The eye which sees the relationship of all dharmas, all existences in this relative world, that is called Igan, with wisdom eye. The wisdom eye observes the relationship of all beings, not just your position, but everything related, interrelated, arising and falling. Whatever comes to the mind in your being when in meditation is nothing but your portion of this relationship. So whatever is observed becomes the source of teaching. Egan, wisdom eye, or it also means like right or correct eye. Gen is eye. He is right, correct, wisdom. Coburn often talked about the fruition of practice as having bright eyes. Bright eye practice, he called this. It's strange because we're very quiet, and what do? We face a wall, and yet this is bright eye practice. This is wisdom, wisdom eye practice. Igen becomes Hogen, Dharma, Dharma eye, the eye that sees all dharmas. And then there is Butsugen, the eye, Buddha eye, the eye that sees the interrelationship of all things. Koban often talked about this bright eye practice. Shall I read one more? This is from a talk that Koban gave at Karma Cholin in 1994. He was often invited to talk to the and teach in the Sangha of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, the Shambhala Sangha. And he was invited to many centers throughout, actually in Europe as well as America. Koban said, "You are responsible. You have to look after that. Look back to your patterns of experience, of phenomena. You say, 'I have this karma.' You realize certain repetitions, personality, special tastes, flavor of your life, your habits, all kinds of special characteristics of your life. In the seventh consciousness, the manas, klistas manas, this potential force is structurally embedded as memory, as a huge storage house it is. And the brain, most of the time, is not fully working, but going on like a lazy sleeper. Why is it that a certain knowledge, a certain dharma, will appear as very personal, but that dharma itself is universal truth? When you touch it, and another person touches it, recognition appears the same way, like an electric current. When you touch it, it hurts. And someone else touches it, it also hurts. So it exists for its own sake. It is said our practice is to add wisdom to the Dharma. It grows by your effort. And you yourself are one of the sources of wisdom. So our practice, shikantaza, means just sitting. Ta is hit. I hit the floor. That action is ta. Za is sitting. So actually you are pounding sitting. Though our body's eye only sees someone sunk onto a cushion. Shikan means for itself, nothing but for itself. You cannot say to someone else, please sit for me. But sitting itself causes all of them, all this, to sit with you. Although they may be moving, another place, in another place, another route, taking another route, still they are participating, helping your sitting. When you put eyeglasses on and sit, eyeglasses begin to sit. When you lift something from here to there, that lifting something is this way. The whole thing goes with it. The whole thing goes with practice. Shikantaza, as a purest form, is exactly identical to Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. Complete, perfect enlightenment. That is why it has to be done for itself. The only special technique is total self-acceptance. Total self-acceptance of where you are. Of birth, of the world, of death, of the whole thing. Otherwise, even for 1 minute, you cannot sit. So let your breath sit with you. Let your eyeglasses sit with you. Let your garment, whatever you wear, sit properly. In the end, something is sitting. Something sits. The tankas and the sculptures are not an ideal image of someone, but all those images are a self-image, and the sensation of all practice is there with it. He spoke these words to a, you can imagine, he spoke these words to a Tibetan, a Vajrayana Sangha, so, talking about Shikantaza this way is actually kind of radical. But my sister and my brother-in-law are both Vajrayana students, and I've had long discussions with them about visualization practices, and very interesting. So it's interesting how Koban brought that back at the end, back to their visualization process. To me, these are kind of like pep talks, I guess you'd say. They really help me. Koban talked about Shikantaza. Everyone here is familiar with that, I presume, the Shikantaza practice.
You might want to say something about it. There's probably a few people.
Big topic. Some meditation practices are guided in a certain way, and some meditation practices have a number of stages or a particular goal. Like you do something, you pay for something, and you get something back. The shikan is just, when it says just, that just is the basis of this practice. So we, in shikan taza, there's sitting, you could say, for itself, or just as it is. It's total radical acceptance of body and mind just as they are. Still has a form, but that way has no gaining idea. It has no parent, you could say, to guide you. You are the boss of that practice. You are the absolute, you have absolute responsibility when you practice shikan taza for the practice. And it is for itself. And that for itself is for, because it's for itself, it's for, it extends everywhere without discrimination for everything. The other little reading I wanted to share is kind of a precursor to shikan taza. Hongji came before Dogen maybe five generations, something like that. Dogen's teacher in China, Ruijing, had a very strong monastic practice when Dogen came there, and this helped to carry the Zaodong, the Soto school, into Japan, and what we now know as Soto Zen has come to us this way. So maybe three or four generations before Ruijing, I'm not sure. Do you know? Something like that. Hongzhi, at a time when our lineage thread was very fragile, he helped revitalize this way, the Zaodong school. And his teaching was called Silent Illumination Practice. It sounds kind of grand, doesn't it? Silent Illumination. But it was very direct practice that had no, there were no koan studies, no stages. It was emphasis on direct sitting. And Hongzhi, Dogen called Hongzhi our great ancestor, our revered ancestor. He really liked Hongzhi. Anyway, I have a few things I'd like to share with you from him. And these are you can kind of get a flavor of how our practice, how shikan taza originated. By the way, this is from a book called Cultivating the Empty Field, and it has a large number of these little, I would call them almost like prose poems of Hongzhi. And to me they're really like pep talks. They're like you can kind of feel him talking to his assembly, and he had a large assembly, talking to his assembly, kind of saying, come on, do the work, you know, and encourage them with, in a way, almost dramatically, but beautiful little poetic passages. So I'm going to read a few of these. This one's called The Practice of Reality. That's a big enough practice for us. Can we handle this? Are you ready for the practice of reality? The practice of reality is simply to sit serenely in this silent illumination. When you experience this, you will not be turned by external causes and conditions. An empty but open mind is your correct light and your subtle light. It is spacious and it is content. There's no confusion from grasping thoughts. There is energy to overcome habits, and there is recognition of a self not possessed by emotion. By not relying on other things, the mind is open to other things. It is complete, whole. This independent and upright way begins with just the non-pursuit of degrading situations. Here you can rest. You can rest here. You can become clean here. Become pure and lucid here. And this lucidity is both bright and penetrating. Immediately return, accord, and respond. And deal with events, here and now. Everything is already unhindered. Clouds float to the peaks. Moonlight flows down to the mountain streams. It's all illumined. It's all unobstructed. It all clearly manifests responsive interaction like box and lid, like arrow points meeting. So continue the work. Cultivate, nourish, mature, stabilize. If you accord everywhere with complete clarity, and without dependence on doctrines or views, then, like the wonderful white bull, like the free wildcat, you can be called a complete person. That's quite a pep talk. For a while I've been sitting with this one phrase, immediately return, accord, and respond. What do you think that means?
Accord.
Not cord. Accord. To be in accord with something? Yeah. Immediately return, accord, and respond to deal with events here and now. Return. I think so too. You can find all three in practice itself. There's returning in practice, there's according in practice, and there's response in practice. It could also be, I've been thinking about this for a while, how this, you could also say that practice itself, as we know it, as a form, as a thing we do, that's the returning. We go home to practice. We come home to practice. We come back to our breath, we come back to our body and mind. We come back to being aware of consciousness, not the contents of consciousness, but consciousness itself, just itself, shikan consciousness. We come home, we return in our practice, and then because of that base, because we came home, because we've stabilized body and mind, we can accord with things. We can actually meet another person. Not an idea of another person, not with an agenda, but actually meet another or meet a cup of tea. We can attune ourselves like a musician tunes his instrument. We can attune ourselves to the circumstances, whatever circumstances present themselves, whatever arises. We can accord ourselves with it. And then, because we've returned and because we've adjusted ourselves to the situation, then we can appropriately respond. We can meet another person, or meet an event, or actually taste the tea. How about one more? Can I read you one more little pep talk? This one really sounds like a pep talk, actually. Because it starts out talking, directly addressing the monks. He says, "Hey, you patch robe ones, make your thinking dry and cool and rest from the remnants of conditioning. Persistently brush up and sharpen this bit of the field. Directly cut through all overgrown grass. Extend to the limit in all directions without defiling even one speck of dust. This, our spiritual way, we call bright. The nature of this vast existence is fully luminous. Therefore, fully illuminate what is now before you. Become the clarity that cannot attach to any single defilement. Of course, there is the occasion when we must directly tug and pull back the ox's nose. Of course, his horns are imposing. And he stomps around like a beast, like the beast he is. Yet never does he essentially damage people's sprouts or grains. Wandering around, accept how it goes. Accepting how it goes, wander around. Do not be bound by or settle into any preference or place. Then the plow will break open the ground in this kalpa field of emptiness. Proceeding in this manner, each event will be unobscured and each realm will be complete. To begin not to dwell in appearances is to begin the flow of eternity. So it is said that the mind is a field. Every seed is contained in it. With rain, there's sprouting. Awakening blossoms when attachments fade. And the fruit of this awakening? Just this original self before you. Questions? So wandering around, accept how it goes. And accepting how it goes, wander around. In coming to meet yourself in practice, in coming to meet another person, another thing, in recognizing body and mind, in recognizing a breath, one breath, in wandering around this vast, luminous world, this shared existence, and wandering around this way, Buddha's way, and wandering around this wonderful stew of karma and conditions and experiences and assumptions and mistakes and thoughts. In meeting other people, in seeing a flower or the space between two trees, in wandering around, Huangzi says, accept how it goes. Accept how it goes. Accept it. Accept that it goes. Accept that it is just for that time and just for that place. Accept that you met it, that you met another, that you met yourself.